Turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 1, for the message here this evening. Let me take this opportunity to thank you so much for being in God's house this evening. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for stepping out of your house, braving the rain and the chilly air and the wet ground and all of that. Thank you so much for setting aside other things. And I know that many of you probably, after you were done with work or whatever you were doing today, I would imagine that the couch was calling you by name and making all kinds of wonderful advances toward you, trying to get you to sit on the couch and take the evening and just relax. And I appreciate the fact that you pushed through and you made it into God's house. Thanks for doing that. And I trust that it'll be a blessing to you to be here. I know that for me, it's a blessing to see you here and to have you worship with me and with all of us here tonight. It's an encouragement to me, and I mean that. Acts chapter 1, verse number 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Please notice verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Our theme this year, as you will remember, is back to the basics. We've been talking about back to the basics as in it's important that we have an established regimen and habit of Bible reading. One of the things that I've been praying for you this year about more than before is that the Lord would allow that each one of us would have a hunger for God's Word and that you'd be just drawn to His Word throughout the week. And as you read, that God would speak to you about whatever He wants to speak to you of. And the other thing that we've been talking about is prayer. And then we've been talking as well about getting back to the basics in fellowship and then also in sharing the gospel or being a testimony, a witness to others. Those are the four areas that we're focusing on this year. And so about 3 months ago, I spoke to you last about back to the basics, and we looked at back to the basics in Bible reading. And I talked to you about the importance of Bible reading and some good reminders of how to be in a good habit of Bible reading. I hope that that was a help and encouragement to you. I hope that you have a daily habit of Bible reading. If you don't, let me encourage you to go back, listen to that message, or whatever it takes for you to get into that daily habit of Bible reading. Listen, you need that. You need that in these days. But not only do we need a daily habit of Bible reading, listen, friends, we need to get back to the basics of prayer. I don't know of a more important thing for you and me to do in this day and age than to pray. And I know there are a lot of important things, as in coming to church, as in reading our Bible, as in witnessing, as in doing all the things that we as Christians should do. But I don't know of anything that is more important than prayer. Because prayer is really where God begins to work on us, but also allow us to see things happen in this world. And I do believe that the great need of the hour is that God's people would fall on their face before Him and cry out to Him, repent of their sins and seek His face. Again, I'm a believer, as I hope you've noticed, in soul-winning efforts as a church. I think it's important that every church be very zealous in getting the gospel out to their community. I know that God has called us to do that, and I think that it's important that we do that. But friends, again, I don't think that is the answer to the world's problems. I think the answer is that God's people would get on their face before Him and pray. So I want to encourage you today that we would get back to the basics of prayer. And as we looked at Acts chapter number 1, which is kind of where we're drawing our theme from for the year, what did they do in the beginning when Jesus ascended up to heaven? Well, one of the very first things they did is went back to Jerusalem and began together to pray. And that's, of course, what we ought to do. We ought to have a habit of prayer. Let's pray right now, ask God for His help, and then we'll get into the message, all right? Father, thank You for the opportunity to look into Your Word and to encourage and challenge Your people in the area of prayer. Lord, would you enable us, please, I pray, to hear from you and be challenged. Lord, I thank you for the great privilege that you've given me to pastor this church, and Lord, to be the one to stand behind this pulpit and speak for you to your people. And Lord, to be able to challenge them and remind them of what you've commanded them to do. But Lord, I bring all of us before you. I bring the congregation, and Lord, I'm a part of it. I bring us before you. And Lord, I plead with you. Change us. Make us people of prayer. Teach us. Put within us, Lord, a burning desire to speak to you. Lord, that our prayers would cease to be just some exercise of religion that we are used to doing because we were taught to by our parents, and that it would become our very breath. Lord, I can't make that happen in my own life, much less the life of somebody else. But Lord, I know that you can by your Holy Spirit. You can do that. And Lord, I believe you want to in Madison Baptist Church. So Lord, would you please use your word tonight by your Spirit to challenge us in this area of prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. First of all, as we begin the message this evening, let me encourage you by answering this question. What is prayer? What is prayer? Well, in its most general sense, prayer is communion with God. Look with me if you would, and we're going to look at many verses tonight. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews 4, many of these verses that we'll look at tonight you'll be familiar with. I'm going to move through them quickly, because unlike the Spanish conference that I went to on Monday, I don't want us here till 10 o'clock, all right? So I know you don't want to be here till 10 o'clock, so I'm going to try to move quickly. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Notice what the Word of God says there. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to challenge you that prayer, first of all, and in its most general sense, is communion with God. As we're challenged in Hebrews chapter 4 with the idea of the fact that because we are saved, because we're in Jesus, we can come boldly before God's throne. Think of what that means. That means that we have access to the presence of God through Jesus. That's what prayer in its most general sense is, that you and I get an audience with God. And I don't know if we often realize that is a big deal. I don't think we think it's a big deal very often. And the proof is that we don't really spend much time in prayer. I think many times when a problem comes up, or when we have a need arise, or when we're hurting in some area, or there's something going on, boy, we're quick to talk to our spouse, or our sibling, or our parents, or maybe even to call the pastor. And we, as a very last resort, we talk to God about it. My dad used to say when we would be together and it'd be time for prayer, I can remember my dad saying in a joking fashion, he would say, has it come to that? Is it really time to pray? I mean, is it that bad that it's time to pray? And he was joking in that, right? That's being a little sarcastic. Like, that's the first thing we should do. Because it's communion with God. And when we have any kind of need, we should be coming to God first. Or not only when we have a need, in all times we should want an audience with God. That's, first of all, what prayer is. But look with me, if you would, at 1 John chapter number 5. Here's another part of prayer, something that we don't always think of with prayer. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. And as you're turning there, I'll tell you what it is. Prayer is also seeking to know the will of God. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. When we're spending that time with God, here's what we ought to be looking for. What is God's will? And you know that as we spend time with God, you know that God will, in your spirit, reveal what his will is to you, and it will never contradict his word. That's why many times when we pray, we ought to have an open Bible. We ought to be reading the Word of God. When we lack something to ask God about, we ought to just open up the Word of God and begin to read it, because many times God will reveal through his Word, hey, here's something that's a principle of God that applies to my situation. Or the Holy Spirit might bring some other truth of God from his Word to your mind. Because as we're spending time with God, we ought to be seeking, God, what do you want in this situation? What is your heart in the matter? We ought to be seeking to know the will of God. And that's part of what prayer is. And then turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, one of my favorite sections of Scripture on prayer is Matthew 7 and verse 7. It says there, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Verse 8 says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Prayer is not only communion with God and trying to find out the will of God. Prayer is then asking God for something. And I would have you notice here, and we'll kind of get into this a little bit later, but in this truth that Jesus gives here where he talks about if a father that is among us, if his kid asks for a piece of bread, will he give him a stone? The obvious answer is no, right? We understand that that son who's asking for something is asking for something specific. And you know that prayer is not saying, "Lord, please bless the missionary." Prayer is asking God for something. "God, Brother Shergalis needs this." Brother Shergalis or Brother Kowak or whomever, they asked us, "Lord, that you would work in the life of so-and-so. Would you bring conviction to that person? Would you cause them to be born again?" Whatever it might be, but we ask for something specific. That's what prayer is. It's asking God for things. But not only that, let's turn now to Ephesians chapter number 3. As I mentioned to you, we're going to see a lot of Scripture tonight. Stay with me on these. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll look at verse 14, because we're going to see there that prayer is not only communion with God and seeking to know the will of God and asking God for things, but prayer is also interceding for others. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 14. Notice what the apostle says as he's writing to the Ephesians. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." And then it goes on. I wish we had time to go over it, but we've got lots of scriptures to look at. He continues then to list things that he goes to the throne of God constantly for. And it's not something where he's asking God for provision in this area or asking God for this blessing. He's going and interceding on the behalf of others. "Lord, they need this. Lord, they need this help. Lord, you need to open their eyes to these things. Would you do this?" And that's what prayer is. It's interceding for others. Let's move on to the next section of the message, which is another question. The first one is, what is prayer? The next question is, when and where should I pray? When and where should I pray? Well, first of all, Psalm 55 and verse 16. Let's turn over there. Psalm 55 and verse 16. Psalm 55 and verse 16. "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." You know when we should pray? We should pray throughout the day. When the psalmist is giving that statement of evening and morning and at noon will I pray, God is not giving us a formula that you have to pray these many times a day, and if you don't, you're not a good Christian. If you do, you are a good Christian. The whole idea behind that is to spread it throughout the day, that listen, at every time of the day, you and I ought to be in prayer. And the psalmist here is saying, I'm going to be praying all throughout the day, evening and morning and at noon. I will be praying. I'm going to seek these things from God. And friends, you and I should be praying throughout the day. I hope and I trust, as I mentioned before, that you have a daily Bible reading time. If you don't, again, let me encourage you, develop that. Remember, make it simple. Make it something you literally can do. Don't try to take big chunks off at one time and, you know, be super spiritual and say, I'm going to read God's Word for 3 hours every morning. That won't last for most of us. But you know what? Most of us can do 10 or 15 minutes. Many of you can do longer than that. But you know, you can do some amount of time and begin there and develop that daily habit. But not only that, but do that in prayer as well. Develop a daily habit of a time of prayer. But then let me encourage you as well. Don't limit yourself to, well, I prayed this morning, I don't need to pray anymore. One of the best things we can learn to do in our lives is learn to turn this off. This is one of the biggest enemies of the Christian life right here. And many of us, again, I'm probably as guilty as you are. When we have a spare moment, what do? Most Americans, when they have a spare moment, they are on this stupid piece of garbage right here. And for a Christian, you and I listen, rather than opening up our phone, because it does become an addiction, what we ought to do is learn to, rather than pick up our phone when we have a free moment, how about we pick up the phone spiritually and call God on the phone? We ought to learn to listen, pray about one thing when you have a spare moment here and there, but let's develop that habit. Let's seek God. And God wants us to pray throughout the day, okay? Not only that, but God wants us to pray in times of fear. We're in Psalm 55. Look at Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And the psalm goes on to talk about that, and he actually prays to God for help. Why? Because he's afraid. And when you're afraid, what should you do? You ought to go to the Lord in prayer. When a problem comes up, you ought to go to the Lord in prayer at all times. That ought to be the first breath out of your mouth when something comes up is, Lord, help in this situation. I've had this situation recently, and I'm even embarrassed to say it, but twice in the last couple of months, I've lost my keys. I don't know, is that old age? Don't tell me if it is, all right? My wife tells me it is. I don't think she's right. She's wrong. Whatever her name is, I forget. But listen, the Lord has reminded me in times like that, here's what I do. I had to pray and ask God, God, show me, help me. Help me to find those. And I have, and God has helped me to find them. And God's done that for me, and I know you could tell stories as well of God helping you with those things. Bring those small things to God. When something comes up, maybe there's a family problem, some angst in the family, something where the child is not doing right, and you and your wife or you and your husband are talking about it, or whatever the situation might be. Listen, do you go to the Lord about that? Or do you just talk it out amongst yourselves? Do you stop and say, hey, let's ask God for his help on this? We should, shouldn't we? When we're afraid, we should do that. In times of fear, in times of need, we should seek God. Look at Zechariah chapter number 10. Zechariah chapter number 10. I read this recently in my personal time with the Lord, and it stood out to me. Zechariah 10 and verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. It says there, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. What is that all about? Well, in the arid climate there where Israel is located, they are not used to normal times of rain like you and I are here. It's a much more arid climate. There are times in the early part of the year when the rain comes, which, by the way, just happens to be perfect for planting time. Then God designed it to where the next time of the year in that area of the world when the rains generally come is a little bit before harvest so that the plants have some moisture to finish up that growth. That's the early rain and the latter rain. And if they don't get those, the harvest is seriously diminished. And so God says here in Zechariah, listen, when that time of the latter rain comes, ask God for it. Come to him for your needs. That's the Old Testament equivalent of what Jesus said in Matthew, where he said in the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Ask God for our needs. In times of need, we ought to come to him. I wish we had more time for all of these scriptures, but in times of rejoicing, we ought to go to the Lord. When things are going right, we ought to pray. We ought to bring our requests before the Lord, not only when we're in need, but listen, when we're in a time of rejoicing, we ought to be thanking the Lord for all that he's done. And that leads us then to, in times of thankfulness, we ought to be praying. And then, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 6. As we're asking ourselves the question, when and where should I pray? Matthew chapter number 6. And I'll find it sooner or later. There we go. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 5. And it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You'll want to keep your place there in Matthew. We'll be back. But I want you to see there that you should pray either in public or in private. Either one. One time when I was very early in the ministry, I remember, boy, I had not been in full-time pastoral work except maybe 2 weeks. And there came this guy in the church that I was pastoring in, and boy, was he cantankerous. And I remember him coming to me, and here I am, just this, I don't know, how old was I at the time, 23-year-old kid, just trying to pastor a church for the first time. And he came to me and he said, "I don't think we ought to be praying publicly in the church services, because Jesus said that when you pray, you need to enter into your closet." Well, of course, I didn't listen to him. I don't know if you noticed that or not. We pray publicly. The reason I didn't listen to him is Jesus didn't mean you can't pray. I can almost say that. You can't pray in public, because Jesus prayed in public. The whole point here of Matthew chapter number 6, when it says enter into your closet, is don't pray to be seen of men. The problem with the Pharisees was not that they prayed in public. It was that their prayers in public had the intention of trying to get everyone to look at them and see how spiritual they were, because they were praying in public. So whether you're praying in public or in private, don't brag about it to anybody. Just pray. And I would encourage you, don't let anybody discourage you about when you pray or where you pray. Just pray. There is not a wrong place to pray. All of us ought to be seeking God at all times. And then as we kind of bring the message to its final section here, the next question is, what should my prayer look and sound like? And I want to encourage you in this area. What should your prayer and mine look and sound like? First of all, your prayer should be effectual. You remember that verse? "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That's in James chapter number 5. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me give you an example in God's word of an effectual prayer. Because I want to encourage you that if you are going to pray, and I want you to pray, learn to pray in an effectual manner, a way that accomplishes something. Learn to pray in such a way that your prayers are answered, and that as you go to the throne of grace and you're seeking something of God, that something changes. I think a lot of times the reason, if we're honest, that we don't pray is we've prayed so many times and nothing's happened. And so we get in our mind, now we only allow it to be subconscious and under the surface, because we would never, as good independent Baptists, speak these words, but we really, down deep, don't believe that our prayers really make a difference. And I think that's why prayer meetings are often the least attended meetings that you'll find in any church. Because God's people don't really believe that prayer makes a difference. And I think the reason they think that prayer doesn't make a difference is because their prayers aren't answered. And I think one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons their prayers aren't answered is they haven't learned to pray in an effectual way. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 24. I wish I could tell you that I have, you know, great expertise in effectual prayer, and boy, whenever I seek God, just I get every answer immediately, and there's never a waiting time, and I never get it wrong, but if you know me at all, you know that that's not the case. I cannot say that I always do it right, but Genesis 24 and verse number 12, I want you to notice in God's word an example of an effectual prayer. You remember this narrative here, this is Abraham's servant seeking a bride for Isaac. Notice verse 12. Notice this prayer that he prays. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Now, by the way, there's a fairly common prayer, right? Lord, help me, bless me. But he doesn't stop there. Verse 13. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass, he's going to get specific here, that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Boy, there is a specific prayer, isn't it? Verse 15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, notice before he had done speaking, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Now, do you notice that he prayed for something specific, and then God gave a very specific answer? That's an effectual prayer. And I want to encourage you that when you're wondering what your prayer should look or sound like, your prayer should be much less like this. Dear Lord, my day is beginning. Please be with me today. Guide me and direct me. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying that way. But can I tell you that it's a little weak? It's not wrong, but I want to encourage you to make your prayers specific. Ask God for something and expect God to answer. And by the way, you'll see this a little bit later. Don't make it up out of the thin air. Lord, I would like you to, you know, allow me to find a $100 bill on the sidewalk today. Again, if the Lord leads you to do that, there's nothing wrong with praying for those type of things. If you're in need and God lays something like that on your heart, man, pray for it. But I'm talking about something like, Lord, today I'm going to be at work and help me. There's this person at work that I really have a tough time getting along with. And Lord, when they say something to me, Lord, remind me at that very moment to hold my tongue. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And help me as I respond to them to respond with words of grace and kindness. Lord, help me and teach me what it means to forgive them. Lord, remind me in that moment of how you have forgiven me of all my sin, even though I don't deserve it. You know, on and on we can go. Pray and ask for specific things. Learn to pray in an effectual manner. Turn back to Matthew chapter number 6. Remember, I told you that you might want to save your place there. Matthew 6, turn with me, if you would, to verse number 7. Because we're still talking about your prayer being effectual, please remember this as you pray. This is so important. Don't lose this. In fact, I would encourage you, write this in your heart and your mind. God is not impressed with your many words. And I know you and I know that. We know it up here. But I think many times, for whatever reason, we don't know it here. Sometimes we feel guilty going to the Lord and being very blunt and specific. As I like to say, short, sweet, and to the point. And we feel like if God's going to hear me, I've got to pray at least this length of time. And yet nowhere in Scripture do we see that God expects a certain length of time of prayer. And again, I'm not against praying long times, but I grew up in an era and in a group of Christians that emphasized things like this. I can remember in Bible college, these type of words being said, oh, if you really want God's power on your life, you've got to learn to pay the price in the prayer closet. Oh, that sounds so spiritual. And yet, you know, I never find that in God's Word anywhere. So that I came out of Bible college, and it wasn't Bible college's fault. I had, a great school that I went to with great people. But I came out with this burden that, man, I mean, if I'm not spending 2 and 3 hours of prayer a day, I'm just not a good Christian. And man, when I really need something, I need to stay up all night and pray. Again, nowhere in Scripture do you find any kind of formula like that. In fact, look with me at Matthew chapter 6. Hopefully, by now you're there, verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Boy, there was a short motto prayer. Jesus laid it out there, and he reminded everybody in the beginning, don't think that God's going to hear you because you have vain repetitions. And don't think that God's going to hear you because you're speaking a lot. And I want to encourage you in your prayers, be effectual. If you were going to come to me and you were going to ask me for some need that you had, hopefully you would understand, pastor's not going to be impressed if I come with some, you know, 1,000-word essay on why he ought to give me this thing. Hopefully you would understand, I love you and care for you enough that if you have a legitimate need and I have the ability to meet it, all you have to do is say, I need this. And as your friend, as your pastor, as your confidant, I would say, absolutely, let me help you. Just make sure you pay me back. I wouldn't say that. But I wouldn't say, okay, well, I'll tell you what, when you get serious, when you pay the price in the prayer closet, then I'll give you some help. No. If you have a need and I love you and care for you, I'm going to meet that need. I might want you to ask. And I might even make you wait a little bit if I feel like it is the right thing for you. But if there's a need and you really need it met, then I'm going to meet your need. Why do we think that God the Father is different? Why do we think that he needs to hear magic and long words from us? I think it's because it's Satan's trick to keep us from praying. Because we think, I just don't know if I know the right words. I just don't know if God's really impressed with how much I really want it. Listen, set all that aside and just pray. Pray for specific things and expect God to answer. What kind of faith is God impressed with? Childlike faith. How does a child ask for things? In as simple a way as possible. You know what that God, that is what God wants from you and me. He wants us to be as his children, because that's what we are. So be effectual. Then that leads me to the next thing, which is again found in James, and that is be fervent. Be fervent. Mark 11, 24, we won't turn there for time's sake, but it says, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, ye shall have them. I'm not quoting that exactly right. But in Mark 11, 24, it talks about what things soever ye desire. We should be praying about things that we really want from God. I was looking over some notes of some different books that I have on prayer as I was preparing for the message, just glancing over some things. And one of the things that I noticed was one of the guys who wrote on prayer said this, prayer lists have been a great enemy of prayer. Now, I don't know that I would go that far to say that, but this guy is a guy I respect, and that's what he said. And he said, here's what we ought to do. We ought to take whatever prayer list we have, and anything that's on there that we don't really care about, we ought to just get rid of it. And pray for the things that we care about. Because otherwise, you know what we're doing? Vain repetitions. Now, don't do that with the prayer list tonight, okay? Because we're about to hand you a prayer list. But I understand his sentiment, right? He referenced the fact that he was an evangelist, and he said, you know, I went to a church one time, and this lady said, what's your name again? And he told her his name, and she said, that's right. I remember you were at our church all these years ago. I pray for you every day by name. And he said, he didn't say it out loud, but in his mind, he said, you haven't prayed for me. Now, he wasn't saying she didn't mention his name, but she wasn't really praying for him. She may have had him on a list, and she has gone through the list every day and just rattled off the names. But she wasn't really praying for anybody. She was just going through vain repetitions. If she couldn't even remember his name, if she couldn't even know who he was and what his needs were, she wasn't really praying for him. You understand what this evangelist is saying? And I understand his point that, listen, you and I ought to spend less time rattling through things that we believe good Christians ought to pray for. And we ought to ask God, God, give me some things that I can pray for that I can be passionate about. Or give me something in my heart that is from your heart that I can be fervent in prayer for. That God, when I pray for it, it would be a burden, not just something that I mention, and if it happens or it doesn't happen, I could care less. But Lord, something that I am passionate about, that you're passionate about. That's what we ought to be asking God for. We need to be fervent in prayer. The third area that we could mention that our prayers should look or sound like is they should be prayers of faith. Prayers of faith. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew 21. Matthew 21, prayers of faith. Matthew 21, verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. That was, remember, he had cursed it and it had dried up. But also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Our prayers should be prayers of faith. And I want to encourage you that what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 21 is not a very, very, very common thing. But there are times when God will give you specifics as you pray and as you seek him that he'll impress upon your spirit. Maybe it's as you read God's word and you see a principle or a promise, or maybe it's just something that deep in your spirit and in your heart, God says, I want to give you that. And you can pray then in faith, and you and I ought to be seeking that. Lord, teach me, what are the things that you want? Lord, for that lost loved one that I have, or that friend, that neighbor, the missionary need, the church situation, whatever it might be, Lord, specifically, what do you want me to ask you for? God, impress it upon my heart, lay it on my heart as a burden, and teach me that you want to do it so that when I pray before you, Lord, I can come and say, Lord, you've taught me that this is what you want, and I'm going to pray until you give it because I believe this is what you want. God will many times do that for us, and it's not real, real common. You and I don't get to always decide when God does that, but when he does, you and I can pray in faith, and we ought to be seeking that. But may I remind you of another verse? You might write this down and look it up later, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So even if we don't have a specific thing, a promise of God that we can pray for specifically on that thing and expect God to answer, we can always go to him in faith knowing that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So when you pray, believe that God really does reward you. In just a moment, as we break up into groups and we spend time in prayer on our prayer list, boy, I hope that you go to God and you believe honestly that he will reward us as we come to him about these needs. That it's not empty, vain repetition, that God really will reward us. And he might even give you a specific promise that you can claim before him and say, God, I know you're going to do this. I've had those times in my life, many of you have as well, and I've seen God answer. It's amazing when God does that. But what else should your prayer look like? Well, it should look like praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 22. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 22. We just have two more points and we'll be very brief with both of them. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we'll look at verse 22. Word of God says there, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. This, of course, is a narrative of when there were the enemies of God that were surrounding Jerusalem, and it looked like they were going to take over, and they prayed unto God, and God helped. But it specifically says in that verse that we just read that the time that God began to work was the time when they set forth to praise Him. And I want to encourage you that in your prayer, every prayer, you ought to be spending some time, at least some, praising God. God wants to hear you praise Him. And many times, I don't always know when and why God works the way that He does, but I believe many times He works when we begin to praise Him for what He is going to do and how He has helped in the past and all of that. But our prayer should include praise. And then lastly, our prayer should include thanksgiving. Always thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, right? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All of our requests ought to be with thanksgiving, giving God thanks. Very similar to praise, but it's a little different. Thanksgiving is thanking God for what He's done. Praise is giving God glory for who He is. We ought to do both. Spend some time thanking God for what He's done. And let me encourage you, this year, let's get back to the basics of prayer. Let's learn to pray. Let's seek that God would enable us to grow in the area of prayer, not only as a church, but as individuals. And I think that God will answer that prayer because I know He wants us to pray. All right, let's pray in closing, and then we'll divide up into groups and spend some time in prayer. Dear Lord, thank You for reminding us and teaching us of what it means to pray. Now, Lord, I would ask of You that You would help all of us to grow in this area. Lord, I come before You and I know that You want Madison Baptist Church to grow in prayer. You want me specifically as an individual to grow in prayer. Lord, I know that You are glorified by that. So Lord, I'm asking You that You would work that out and start with me, Lord, this guy right here behind the pulpit. Lord, I need to grow in the area of prayer. So Lord, I pray that You would remind me of this often. I pray that You would teach me. I pray, Lord, that You would give me conviction when I'm wasting time doing other things when I could be praying. Lord, remind me often of Your desire to spend time in fellowship with me. And Lord, do that same thing for all of us here this evening. And Lord, as a church, help us to grow in prayer. And then Lord, I think even beyond our church, would You do that same for our sister churches around our state, around our area, for Christians all around the globe? Lord, would You bring a revival of prayer to us as Christians? Lord, that You would work in a mighty way, that we would be able to glorify You for answered prayer. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.